Mark Locke joins us again, creative producer for Titanic, the exhibition. Hey, Mark, welcome back to WGN. How are you?
John, I'm well. What a pleasure to be with you again. Thank you.
So due to overwhelming public demand, as they say, the exhibition in Skokie at Old Orchard's been extended to September 2nd. It's going to be there until Labor Day, huh?
Again, we've extended. You and I chatted last time about the overwhelming popularity of Titanic throughout the world, but mainly in Chicago, when many years ago it was at the Museum of Science and Industry to sold-out crowds, and we're experiencing such great response again at Old Orchard. So going to be there through the end of the summer. We're excited about it. As we talked about before, it's an exhibition that has 350 artifacts that tell the story of the passengers and crew, but also a very theatrical experience with room recreations and a storyline that takes you aboard the Titanic and to its demise and also down to the ocean floor where the wreck of the Titanic sits today. So quite excited about staying in Skokie and in the Chicago area.
By the way, I'm drinking coffee today from my White Star Line coffee cup, which you were kind enough to gift to us. But I guess these are available in the gift shop there?
Every good exhibition has a good gift shop. Exactly right. we don't give them away to everybody. That was a special gift to you, John. But yeah, we have a, you know, people, it's amazing. When I started in this business 20 years ago, the gift shop almost seemed a little crass at times. But I've learned over the years, people come and expecting that to be part of the experience, mean to take something home with them to remember the day. So we've got a wonderful gift shop out at Old Orchard.
We went to the Virgin Mary's house in Italy, and they have a gift shop. If the Virgin Mary can have a gift shop, the Titanic can too.
That's right.
But on a more serious note, not that that wasn't sufficiently tragic, but then I noticed that we just passed the one-year anniversary of the Titan submersible's trip to the Titanic, where suddenly it appears it imploded instantaneously, killing everybody on board. One of the people on board you knew personally, right?
Yeah, June 18th, so what, 10 days ago, the Titan went missing. The world was glued to their televisions and looking online, looking to discover the fate of the Titan. It was 4 days later where it was confirmed that it had indeed imploded. And P.H. Nargileh, just a wonderful human being, a very smart, brilliant man who was referred to as Mr. Titanic. I think that dive, the dive that unfortunately took his life, was his 38th dive to the Titanic. So you and I have talked about my dive, which was so incredible for me and memorable. Imagine going 38 times. He was a navigator on board, a historian, and a guide. And unfortunately, he was lost along with four other people, including the CEO of the company OceanGate that built the sub, Stockton Rush.
Yeah, boy, we all got a crash course in that industry and that submersible per se. And as we learned more about it, at least as I did, it seemed as though that was kind of a cobbled together submersible. The rudder was controlled by a joystick from a game station, stuff like that. Can you just tell me a little bit about that craft and what happened that day?
Yes, and you know, when it happened initially a year ago, people reached out to me for comment, and we didn't know much then. Certainly the experts that I've had the pleasure to sit at the feet of all these many years beyond speculated that the implosion happened just hours after the vessel submerged into the ocean. I remember watching something on CBS Sunday morning, and it was an interview with Stockton Rush, and you know, you're somewhat attracted, I guess, to his charm and his cavalier attitude and his maverick approach. But as I listened more and more, things like the game controller controlling the sub and picking things up at Camping World, you know, that gave me pause. And whether he was blinded by his own ambition or his ego or by greed, he's certainly threw out all the rules, and those that know better had warned him about it. The experts outside of his company, experts inside of his company, he made a critical mistake that, you know, I don't pretend to be an expert, but choosing carbon fiber composite over titanium. And the vessel never had classification. It was never certified. It should never have been allowed to carry passengers. We now know that the rules and regulations that were sort of in place, kind of a gray area, were at the very least sidestepped by calling the paying passengers mission specialists. Right. And the vessel registered in the Bahamas and a promise to only operate in international waters. Well, unfortunately, you know, all of those things put together and a bit of a cavalier attitude to safety. We now know that safety ended up taking a backseat.
And was the implosion like just a fraction of a second? Did we ever determine exactly what happened?
Well, that the reports from the Coast Guard, from the Canadian Coast, U.S. Coast Guard, Canadian Coast Guard, and others, those official reports a year later have not come out yet. That is stressful, you can imagine, for the family. But we know, and those that study these things at the depth where they were, and they were about 3,500 meters. Titanic sits at the bottom of the ocean at about 3,800 meters, that the implosion would have been beyond instantaneous. I've heard people say that they would have been dead before the water even touched them. It's that immediate. So that's the one thing I guess we can take a little piece from, and the families can, that there was no suffering, but it was an immediate death for those on board.
Mark, do people still go down there? Are there still submersibles going to the Titanic?
Well, it's been years since RMS Titanic that has the oversight, if you will, of the wreck for the preservation of the wreck site and the artifacts. They're going, at least there's, I think they're still scheduled to go at the end of this summer to document the site in a, and I think they're doing that with ROVs, remote operated vehicles. But, you know, once this happened, you know, submersibles have been diving to those depths for decades, and one has never imploded. That's because the rules, the regulations, if you will, the best practices were followed. You know, since the implosion, others in the private sector have said, we're going to build a safe submarine that can take passengers to that depth. So those folks are out there, and my sense is they will build a very safe sub. But these are for the very few among us, right? These are what are called adventure tourists or you know, tourist dives, and these are for the very, very wealthy among us, whether it's going to the depths of the ocean or going into space.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, not just the adventurous, but also the wealthy. Better that you just go to Old Orchard and see Titanic, the exhibit. I'm out of time, Mark, but next time you're in town and I'm in the studio, let's get together and talk more about this and your other adventures and shows.
Oh, I look forward to it. Thank you, John.
Yeah, the exhibition's at Westfield Old Orchard Mall in Skokie, and that's until September 2nd, Titanic, the exhibition.